Tonight, if you have your Bible, if you would turn to Psalm 103. Our assignment tonight comes out of the book of Psalms, Psalms 103, if you will. I am reading tonight from the New American Standard Version, and the 103rd division of Psalms, Psalms 103. We'll speak here for these few moments here on Psalm 103. Let me speak around this title tonight, Your value of God is expressed through your praise. I want you to help me with that. Say that after me. Your value of God is expressed through your praise. Now look at somebody and tell them that. Your value of God is expressed through your praise. Yeah. Let me read from Psalm 103. Let me begin by reading these first five verses. Let me begin there, and then we'll make some remarks and go forward. Psalm 103, verse 1, New American Standard. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, this scripture calls you and I to attention. It calls you and I to remember that God is worthy of our praise. The scripture says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. God's worthy of our praise. And you know, it really doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. God is worthy of our praise when things are going well in our lives. And God, hey, is still worthy of our praise when things are going, we're going through a rough patch. When things are going through a rough patch, God is always worthy of our praise. Now, let me say this. People who are less mature in Christ, they only praise God when things are going well. They only praise God when things line up with their circumstances. Listen, there are at least three types of praisers tonight. There are traditional praisers. These are people who praise God, and they're praising God just because it's time for worship. They're praising God. The only reason they're praising God is because somebody said, okay, it's that part of the service, and we're supposed to worship God, so worship God. And they're just praising God as part of the liturgy, as part of the routine. And so there are people, they're traditional praisers, and they'll praise God, but it's just because they wouldn't be praising God any other way, any other reason. It's just time for worship. They're not going to praise God any other way. Traditional praiser. Then there are conditional praisers. These people, they're praising God, as I say, when conditions in their lives line up, when they're doing real good, when they're feeling blessed, when they're feeling happy and blessed and on top, they got extra money and they got extra friends and they got all kind of things going well, then they're ready to praise God. Praise the Lord. Those are conditional praisers. But what God's looking for tonight, and the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, 2 Chronicles 16:9, to show himself strong on behalf of all of those whose heart is perfect or mature toward him. What the Lord's looking for tonight is a positional praiser. You know what a positional praiser is? A positional praiser says, God is good all the time. God is good, and it's not based on what's going on in my life. God is still good. When things go well in my life, God is good. If things don't go well, God is still good. A positional praiser says, based on who I am in Christ, based on my positional status in Christ, I have ascertained that God is good. He's always good. And my individual circumstance doesn't determine God's goodness. God is always good. And I'm going to bless him in good times. I'm going to bless him when things are going tough times. I'm going to bless him when the sun is up. I'm going to bless him when the moon comes out. A positional praiser says, God is so good. He's better than I'm giving him credit for. He's better than my circumstance. He's better than I can tell him with my mouth. God is so good, I'm going to use my position. I'm going to rise up because of who I am in Christ. And I'm going to bless him because he's worthy. I'm going to bless him just because he's worthy to be praised. I wish I had a bigger amen in here tonight. I'm looking for a positional praiser in this place tonight. A positional praiser is someone who has a maturity in Christ. And they've learned that life can ebb and flow and circumstances can come and go. But God is worthy of praise. He's worthy in the morning. He's worthy at noontime. He's worthy when the sun goes down. He's worthy when trouble's on the horizon. He's worthy. When you have a troubled child, he's worthy. When something's wrong with your bank account, he's worthy. When you're not feeling right in your body, he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. A positional praiser has reached a level of maturity where they're going to bless the Lord no matter what. They're going to say God is good no matter what. Some people will only praise him like the conditional praisers. The weather's real good, you get a bunch of conditional praisers. When the weather's good, they get the vitamin D from the sun and they start feeling better about things and they say, well, the weather's nice, so their attitude is nice. But when it's raining or misty or cold, they think, well, the weather's bad, and so their attitude is bad. Oh, but when we will let, as a believer, when we will let our position in Christ uplift our human condition, whatever it is, we'll realize it's time to praise him. And so Psalm 103, David calls the world, the church. He calls us to worship God at all times. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. It reminds me a little bit of Psalm 34, if you will. Go back with me to Psalm 34. I said, any time is a good time to bless the Lord. Psalm 34, every day is a good day to bless the Lord. Praise God. Psalm 34, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I like that. David said, he said, and back there, verse 1 of 34, he said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's a positional praiser. A positional praiser says, God's praise is going to continue to be in my mouth. You may get down there on your job tomorrow. They may not treat you right, but a positional praiser says, I'm going to bless your name anyway. You may leave here and get out in traffic, get over there to Walmart. Somebody may not treat you tonight. They may not treat you right in Walmart tonight, but a positional praiser says, I'm going to bless his name anyway. Yeah. That word praise. Do you know in the scriptures, we're commanded to praise God over 330 times. There are references to praise God. The Bible commands you and I to praise God over and over again. Over 330 references. Think about that. To praise the Lord. The word praise, it comes from a Latin word. You know what it means? It means to ascribe worth, to ascribe value. So when we praise the Lord, we're ascribing worth. The worth that we feel to God, we're ascribing worth to him. When we praise God, we're ascribing value, our value from our heart. It's our value, how we feel, the value we ascribe to him, the worth that we, when we praise him, we're giving him the value that we feel, the worth that we feel. The story is told, I think it's a fictional story of a man. He had a dream, and in his dream, an angel escorted him to church. And as they came into the church, he could see that the frontline singers were singing, but as the angel escorted him in his dream, he couldn't hear any of their voices. He looked beyond the frontline singers. He saw the musicians playing, and he saw the bass player, the guitar player. He saw the keyboard player. He saw the drummer. He saw the horn players. He saw them all. They were vigorously playing, but it was like the sound in his dream was muted as the angel had escorted him to church. And so he observed the frontline singers, he observed the musicians, and then he saw that the pastor came up to preach, and as the pastor preached, again, it was like everything was muted. He couldn't hear the pastor's voice in the dream. And so he turned to the angel who had escorted him to church in his dream, and he said, what is going on? I can't hear the sound. I can't hear the sound. And the angel said to him, that's the way it sounds to us in heaven when someone does not worship the Lord from their heart. Their mouths are moving, but their thoughts are in other places. Their heart is divided, and so we don't hear anything. I wonder if we took that dream and applied it to our lives, would the Lord be hearing your worship tonight? I'm sure he would. Yeah. But it makes you think. We all have a reason to praise him. Go back to Psalm 133. We've all got a reason to bless his name. God is always good. And as Job's wife told him, God's not good anymore. Look at what's happened to you. Look at the pattern of your life. And she gave Job a two-point plan for defeat. You remember that in Job chapter 2. She told him, she said, you ought to curse God and die. She had determined that God, in her mind, was of no value, that praising God was of no value, and her encouragement was to Job was to stop praising God because look at the condition of your life. And Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. I got my mind made up. I'm going to praise him anyway. Yeah. Over in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas learned the value. They expressed their value in their praise to God. And you know that story of them preaching and then being arrested and then being beaten and then their feet being fastened and their hands in the stocks, and they were beaten and thrown in jail. And at the midnight hour, Acts 16:25, they began to bless the Lord. They began to worship God. Think about that. Having been beaten down, they decided, let's just worship God. Let's just bless God. Those are positional praisers. They're Paul and Silas were saying, we're going to bless his name. He's worthy. We might be in prison, but he's worthy. He's bigger than this prison. He's greater than this jail. He's worthy of our praise. And they began to bless the Lord right there. And you know the story, an earthquake hit that place and opened up the jail, and everyone's bonds were loosed. Praise God, because he's worthy. Everyone has a reason to praise him tonight. Go with me to Psalm 124. Psalm 124, if you will. When we praise God, we are really ascribing to him the worth that we feel, the value that we feel. We should not be divided. We should not be someplace else. The Bible says, Psalm 22, that God inhabits the praises of his people. Where did I tell you to go? Psalm 124. It says, had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up around us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their anger was kindled against us. And then the waters would have engulfed us. The stream would have swept over us, our soul. Then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. I like that. The psalmist concludes there. David said, you know, had it not been for the Lord, where would we be? And I think the scripture calls you and I to ask ourselves that same question. Had it not been for the Lord in your life? Sometimes people act like, you know, it don't matter. They act like they don't need God. They act like, well, I got here on my own. It's like the story that's told of the minister. He goes into a restaurant to have a meal, and when they bring out his meal, and the minister prays over his meal. And there's a non-believing man. He's watching the minister pray over his meal. When the minister lifts his head up from praying over his meal, the non-believer says to the minister, why were you praying like that? Are you feeling sick or something wrong with your food? Is that why you were praying? And the minister says, oh, no, I'm just giving glory and giving thanks to God. He's worthy of my praise. I'm just blessing the Lord because he's worthy to be praised. I'm thanking God for this meal. Everything I have is from the Lord. And so then the man says, the unbeliever says, oh, one of those, huh? And the unbeliever says, you know, I worked hard for everything I have in life. I made my own way. The unbeliever says, nobody ever gave me nothing. He says, I lifted myself up by my own bootstraps. He says, I don't thank God for nothing. He said, I earned it all myself. I made my own pay. He said, when my meal comes, he told the preacher, he said, I just dig in. And the preacher looked at him and said, yeah, and that's just like what my dog does at home too. He just digs in. But so many people, they worship God like they don't need him. But worship calls you and I to remember where God has brought us from. And can I testify for you just for a moment? God has brought you from a mighty long way. Am I right about it? God has brought you from a mighty long way. God has helped you when there was no help available. God has come through for you. I'm talking about you. God has come through for you time and then time and then time again. God has helped you when you went down on a bended knee and nobody knew you were on that bended knee with tears in your eyes, crying out to the Lord. But God opened the door for you. God brought that wayward child home. God saved your husband. God saved your spouse. God helped you down there on the job. God put a roof over your head. God put bread on your table. God gave you a car to drive. God put strength in your body. God gave you a right mind to think. God healed your body. God bought you out. God delivered you from addiction. God bought you out. God saved you. He bought you. He kept you from a mighty long way. Woo! I said nobody but God did it. When nobody could help you, God opened up the windows of heaven, poured you out a blessing till there was no more room to receive it. I said, God has been so good to you. And they tried to stop the children from crying out. And Jesus said, leave them alone. Because if they don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm not going to let any rocks cry out for Bill. I know from whence I've come. I know from whence the Lord has blessed me. I know that the Lord has brought me from a mighty long way. I'm not ashamed to praise him. I'm going to act like I need him. I'm going to give him all the glory. He bought me from a mighty long way. He helped me when I was helpless. He touched me when I needed to be touched. He saved me and brought me through. Woo! Glory to God. I said he's a mighty good God. And he's worthy of our praise. Some people act like the non-believing man that said, well, you know, I got myself here. I got myself this job. I did this myself. You didn't do that. Your good looks didn't do that. Your education didn't do that. There was a God in heaven blessing you. There was angels that God sent backing you up. God put his favor on you like a shield. God opened doors for you that no man could close. Hey, God did it for you. And to God be the glory. I said, he's worthy of praise. And David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that's within me, bless his holy name. When they caught up with David, it was 2 Samuel chapter 6, and they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into the city of David. And David realized the Ark of the Covenant represents the very presence of God. God, he was saying, is going to lead the nation. God is going to guide the king. God is going to lead our nation. And David brought the Ark into the city of David, and the Bible says he danced before the Lord with all his might, all his strength. He was dancing before God. He knew what he was saying when he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And sometimes you have to talk to your soul. We all need a little good self-talk. Sometimes you have to straighten your soul out. And sometimes your soul can get to feeling blue, and your soul can get to feeling emotional, and your soul can get to feeling down, and your soul can get to feeling different emotions. But you've got to talk to your soul and tell your soul how to line up with the word. Tell your soul what you're going to believe. Tell your soul what you're going to think. Tell your soul. We're going to praise him anyway. We're going to bless him anyway. We're going to worship him anyway. We're going to give him the glory. Tell your soul we're going to bless him. David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Another scripture, he said, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your trust in God. We're going to praise him. Don't let your circumstance dictate your praise. Let your position as a believer dictate your praise. God is a mighty good God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and don't forget his benefits. You know, that's a problem right there. We are a forgetful people. Sometimes, if we'll admit it, we're just like the nation of Israel. We forget more of what God's done. We're saying to God, what have you done for me lately? How have you helped me lately? Have you done anything lately? But the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 12, around verse 3, I'll draw water with joy from the well of salvation. I said, it ought to be enough that God just saved you. He saved you from a devil's hell. See, when being saved doesn't get you turned on anymore for Christ, when just being saved, when just being born again, when the thrill of eternal life, when the thrill of being free from sin, when that doesn't excite you anymore in Jesus, something's wrong. You need another dip. If you can't get excited about being born again, if you can't get excited about being saved, if you can't get excited, you got to ask yourself, am I saved? Because the Bible said we'll draw water with joy from the well of salvation. Yeah. And when you think about where you were and how God said, can anybody remember where you were? Can you remember what you were going through when God saved you? Can you remember the misery? Can you remember the dejection? Can you remember the wrong thinking? Can you remember how lost you were when God saved you? When he reached down and saved you. Oh, I can't tell it for you, but I'm not going to let any rocks cry out for me. But in May 1979, I went down on a bended knee. And when I came up, I was born again. I gave my life to Jesus, and I've never been the same since. I said, I've never been the same since. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life is meeting Jesus. I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, the greatest thing that's ever happened to Bill in my whole life is meeting Jesus. I have a phrase, God's been good to Bill. It's everywhere. My golf ball at my house. I'm afraid now I've changed it now. God's been good to Bill and Tony. She told me one time, she said, boo, God been good to me too. I said, okay, girl, I'll put that on there. God been good to Bill and Tony. But you know, we have a reason to praise him. Can I tell you this? David listed off a bunch of physical reasons. God's been so good to you. Just physical things, tangible things. He said, don't forget. There in verse 2, don't forget. Verse 3, he pardons all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, satisfies your years with good things. Those are all physical blessings. My goodness, we have been so abundantly blessed physically. We could spend our life just praising God for the physical things that he's done. And he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy of what he's already done. Sometimes we sit around wondering, well, what you gonna do for me? What you gonna do? My name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. But wait a minute, you need to think back to what has the Lord already done for you? How has the Lord already opened doors for you? How has the Lord already touched you? You ought to thank him for what he's already done. You ought to give him the glory for what he's already done. Those are physical things. But the psalmist goes on in Psalm 133, and he says there at verse 6, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. I like that. You know what that means? That God will give you favor. And when people won't treat you right, favor is God's answer for unfairness in this world and in this life. God will put his favor on you. Luke 2:52 said Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Yeah, God will give you his favor. When this life gets unfair, don't get mad, don't get bitter, don't get revengeful. Don't allow a root of bitterness or unforgiveness to develop. No, let God put his favor on you. Genesis 39 verse 2 says the Lord was with Joseph and so he became a successful man. Over in Psalm 5:12, it says, God will give you his favor like a shield. So what do you mean by that? So favor like a shield is metaphorical, where you take two things that are not alike, but they have something alike in common when you compare them, and you draw an attribute from God is a spiritual metaphor. So what God has done for us is physical. He pardons, heals, redeems, crowns, satisfies. It's metaphysical because when you compare what he said, I give you my favor like a shield. When you compare a shield, it's protection. But God says, my favor is just like that natural shield that I put on you. But not only that, listen, when you read the rest of the word, God, listen, the Bible says that God, he's rich in mercy. And reading verses 7 through 12 reminds me, because the Bible says here, he's compassionate. Verse 8, he's gracious. Verse 10, he's not dealt with us according to our sins. Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I said, that's a reason to praise him. Micah 7:19 says the Lord has taken our sins and thrown them into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. That's a reason to praise him. And so the Bible said in Ephesians 2 that God is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad about that? Let me wrap this thing up. Listen, if you look at verse 13, it says, just as a father has compassion on his children. I like that. A father. God is a father. How many glad in here that God is your father? God is a father. John 16:27. You can just write it down. John 16:27. Jesus spoke of the fatherhood of God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for that? But can I say this? God is also a father to the fatherless. Listen, Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6, you can write it down. Psalm 68, 5 and 6 says he's a father to the fatherless. He's a husband to the widow. Somebody says, well, my father's not in this earth anymore. My father's not in the earth. But I'll tell you this, God will be a father to you. I said, God, your father may not be in this earth. Maybe you didn't know your daddy. Maybe you had conflict with your daddy. Maybe your daddy's no longer in this earth. But won't God be a father to you? I said, God will be a father to you. Yes. And Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6 remind us of that. And then verses 14 through 16 remind us how God's given us eternal life. He's given us eternal life. Our life is like a dust, like grass, like a flower that fades. And James 4 tells us that, you know, our life is a vapor. It vanishes away. But God has given us eternal life, something that will never vanish, over and over again. I gave you just two quick ones, and we'll round third and dive into home base here. Look, God, the Bible says that God, listen, verse 17, we're in Psalm 103, verse 17. The loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, his righteousness to children's children. Not only will God be a father to you, he'll be faithful to your children. I get so much joy as a father when I see my kids leaning on the Lord, depending on God, quoting his promises. I get so much joy. I went out for a bite to eat with JP a couple weeks ago. We sat at a little restaurant, and he shared scripture after scripture, things he's trusting the Lord to do in his life. It just touched my heart as a father. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 37:25, David said, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen their seed begging bread. God's faithful as a father, and he's faithful to the next generation. And finally, and I'll quit and leave it alone. Listen, God's blessings are supernatural, because the end of this chapter talks about how God assigns angels to do his bidding. God assigns angels to do his work. Psalm 91:11 talks about the work of angels. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 talks about the work of angels. We see the work of angels in Acts chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. We see the work of angels in Acts 23, verses 23 through 26. Over and over again, God assigns his angelic beings to do his bidding. You may not know it. You may not be able to see it. But if you could roll back the curtain of your life and see the invisible workings of God, you would see day after day after day when angels are with you, when God assigns angels to do your bidding. Oh, he's a mighty good God. So his blessings, they are in fact spiritual. They are in fact metaphorical. They are in fact generational. They are in fact supernatural. His blessings, the blessings of the Lord. And so the Bible tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. God is worthy tonight. not based on who you are. If you never praise him again, he's still worthy. God's worthy tonight, not based on what has happened in your life or my life. If he never does another thing for us, he's still worthy. God's worthy tonight because of who he is. He's worthy tonight because of what he's already done. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Come on, prayer workers. Let's pray together, congregation. Father, thank you so much for your word, your spirit tonight. Thank you that we can ascribe our value to you when we worship. You inhabit our praises, Psalm 22 says. When we bless you, something changes in the atmosphere. Something changes in our hearts when we bless you. Oh, Father, help us not to be traditional praisers tonight. They only praise just because it's time to praise. It's traditional. It's the routine. It's what everybody else is doing. Help us not to be conditional praisers tonight. They're only praising because if things are going right in their life, if things look good, if they're happy at the moment, help us to be positional praisers, to bless you, as the psalmist said, because you're worthy to be praised. We bless you, thank you, honor you. We worship you. Come on, stand up on your feet, congregation. This is your last time. Lift your hands to the Lord. Thank him now for saving you. Thank him for blessing you. Thank him for filling you with the mighty Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank him for delivering you from a devil's hell. Thank him for setting you free from addictions. Many people would not even be here tonight had it not been for the Lord who was on your side. Thank him for helping you. Thank him for blessing you financially. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Thank him for opening doors for you, for that job, for that home. Thank him for touching and healing your body. Thank him for helping you and giving you peace, giving you his comfort and grace, consoling you in the midnight hour. We bless you and worship and honor you with all of our heart, our mind, and our strength. In Jesus' name, Father, amen. My friends, if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, we want you to come on forward. These prayed up ladies down here, our sister Winnie and Pearl, they are prayer warriors. These two ladies right here, they move heaven, their faith in prayers. Thank God for them. You want prayer tonight, if you're a lady, come down here and see Sister Pearl, Sister Winnie. Let them agree with you in prayer. And these gentlemen over here, just as anointed men of God, ready to agree with you. And if you're a man tonight, come down here and agree with one of these men. Be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. You will not leave the same. It's our filling time. It's our midweek filling station, the Hour of Power, Wednesday night. You be here. Keep the Hagans in prayer as they're there in Las Vegas ministering. They fly on that aircraft, but they also fly on the wings of our prayers. Let's not take that for granted. Let's keep them lifted up in prayer this week. Keep Pastor Craig, Pastor Denise lifted up as well. So thank you for being here tonight. Thanks for being so easy to minister to. Listen, spend this week remembering to praise the Lord, to bless his name, to give him the glory. No matter who says boo to you, no matter what goes on, give him the glory and all the praise. And then be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. We love you. Thanks for being here. God bless you. Service is dismissed.